This is Courier Talking Football. I'm Eric Nicholson, and with me are Jim Spence and Sean Hamilton. We think we will make this for the last time until we come back after our short summer holidays.
People,
unless
people have got holidays.
We've
got to give folk a break, to be fair. And unless we get dragged back in for any big breaking issues, of course.
Well, you never know.
Dundee getting taken over. United getting taken over. Mm-hmm. Saints, we kind of know they're getting taken over, but yes, it will be. I'm sure there'll be plenty of news lines for us to follow up when we get back in. But for the moment, I must admit, gentlemen, I was half expecting this to go on another week for the playoffs. I think Jim, I'll call you the optimist. Sean, I'm definitely calling you the pessimist.
I was kind of
somewhere in the middle. Jim, you were right. Your gut instinct was right. By the narrowest of margins, St Johnstone are staying up.
Yeah, I thought Craig Levein may be many things. You know, a lot of Saints fans think he's a dour manager, that he puts his side out there a bit too cautious and all the rest of it. But he knows the game, you know, and I think he understood kind of perfectly just how to manage over that crucial period of time. You know, it might not be exciting and all the rest of it, but, you know, just keeping an equilibrium, keeping feet on the ground, building people up when they needed to be, just keeping them kind of from panicking, all that sort of stuff. All the stuff that if somebody said to you, write down on that foolscap sheet of paper what you know, you'd get two lines down, but it's there. It's there. That kind of that huge kind of lifetime's experience he's got as a player and a manager, I think, came to the fore, and probably kind of outshone, you know, his counterpart at Ross County, who's maybe been a wee bit of a panic merchant with various things. We were talking before we kind of started broadcasting about, you know, his substitutions at the park the other week.
if I was doing a Ross County podcast, I'd be aghast at what he did.
Yeah, bit of an experience.
Those what are the he decisions did. I mean, make or break you.
If you were to ask me the three most dangerous players that Ross County had against St Johnstone last midweek, it was it was Simon Murray, Jan Danda, and Harmon. And he took all three off from 77. I mean, that's a stunning bit of in-game management.
Had they held on, it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're talking a last-minute
equaliser. But they were on top, Ross County. You know, they just wasn't...
I think, in retrospect, all three was too much. I'm going to take all three of them off. As I said at the start of this, it's a wee bit of an experience show, and I think I understand the urge to, you know, I mean, we've seen it at St Johnstone all season in various matches, the protectionist thing, but they weren't there yet, and it was one goal. It's not really enough.
No, and
at that stage,
it's that kind of heat of battle stuff, isn't it? How you kind of retain your temperament, the cool, because, you know, you're under pressure. I mean, players are looking for guidance, fans are on your back.
I think if they were 2-0 up, whatever, I think that's absolutely okay. It makes sense at that point, but one goal, and when an equaliser will change the picture.
I think now, in terms of the Ross County St Johnstone head to head, which it became, I mean, we called it weeks before it was officially the two. I think in the story of who avoided the playoffs and who didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly if Ross County go down, I think that will be the defining moment of that
taking
story.
Taking the three off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I don't know. I think possibly the appointment of Derek Adams could be pinpointed as a problem for Ross County this
season.
Quite
a major one.
They'd recovered from it. Ross County had a lot. I mean, they beat Rangers, they beat Hibs, they beat Hearts at home.
I think towards this point of the season now, I think it's probably fair to say that Ross County are a better team than St Johnstone at the moment.
I wrote that before the last game of the season.
In that respect, I suppose there's an element of, I don't know if fortune's the right word, but certainly profiting off a mistake in terms of the substitutions, if you like. The game was still there for Saints to come back into, and it probably helped them to do so.
But let's go back to you. Sorry, before I rudely interrupted you, Jim, you were on a roll there with Craig Levein, and I think, you know, there has been, you know, there are fans that haven't taken to his manner, all the rest of it. I think it's harsh to mistake it for not caring, not being, some people just like to see sort of jack-in-the-box characters on the touchline, you know, animated. And I get that. I get all that. But his calmness has been an asset in this last three games, and sort of seeing a... I mean, he's in the nick of time, we'll go into who's actually made the big difference. But in the, you know, the way he kind of, he's been vindicated in the way he's
changed the team.
Nicky Clark, he's been
over the last three games, he changed the team.
They've survived in a different. They've survived in a different way to what we expected them to survive. It hasn't been, you know, he's had to. It's been a bit different the last three games, and it needed to be. But you know, you can't not give him. You can't not give him credit. You know, he took over when Saints were 2 points off the bottom. Alec Cleland had got 3 points. When Steve McLean was sacked, they were 5 points off second bottom. So that kind of gets forgotten as well. So, you know, there really was only one job to be done, and it was to keep, it was to get Saints into 10th. He's done it.
I kind of often think that, you know, being a football manager, particularly one with a bit of longevity about them, it's a bit like being in a marriage or a kind of long-term partnership. The only difference is you're married to 20 guys, you know.
You know yourself,
you've been married or in a partnership for a long time. You read each other, you know, there's an instinctive thing. You think, oh, I'm in trouble here, I've not emptied the dishwasher. You know, you learn to read people, and you kind of, you know, and you go with the flow, and you know when to say something, you know when not do, which in my case is like all the time, you know. No, but I mean, see, you know, you kind of go with the flow, you read people, you're kind of trying to understand moods, and you know when people need a wee lift, people need a wee, just a wee kind of, you know, a shove, a wee nudge. That's before you get to the tactics and all the rest of it. So, you know, guys like Levine, I mean, you know, you're watching kind of Nicky Clark coming back for injury and all the rest of it, you know, and managers see the boys in training every single day of the week. You know, they're in, they're speaking to the physio, they're speaking to the sports scientists, you know, the dietitians, and all, but and players are monitored these days. Players are, you know, every aspect of a player's kind of performance is monitored. So managers know, and experienced managers like Levine know how far they can push, just when to nudge a wee bit more gently, when to ease off, you know. When to put somebody in, how long to give them, you know, when to take them off. I mean, that's one of the things we're talking about, you know, Don Cowie earlier on, you know, hauling people off, you know. I mean, there's a time when even your best players will have to come off, but it's time in it, and it's understanding when to do all of these things. And I think Levine is a bit of a master of the art. And I mean, you're a speed to Scotland manager, for God's sake, you know what I mean? And people forget these kind of things. He's operated at a high level at Leicester and all the rest of it. You know, he did very, very well at United. I mean, he's just, I mean, in Scottish terms, he's a class act. You know, I mean, he is not, you know, he's never going to turn out a side that play Barcelona-type football. If he did, he wouldn't have been at St Johnstone. He wouldn't have been at Dundee United. You know, he'd have been kind of at Man United or something like that. but what he does well. And when he came in, he was charged with one thing and one thing only. That was keeping Saints up. And I think sometimes we forget as well, you know, the easy temptation is to think that you come in and you rebuild a side over 3 or 4 months. If you try to rebuild, in many respects, you're actually trying to rebuild a club here at St Johnstone, not just a site.
That's what's needed.
That's what's needed. You know, you're having to kind of readdress on the pitch, many issues that have gone badly wrong.
Four managers, players as well. You know, but I mean,
so he's been addressing all of these issues, you know, right through. And the kind of, well, I know he's taking a step back from certain things. And like, he's the type of manager that, I mean, at United, he was, you know, speak to Stevie Campbell, he turned up one day, I think, at Orkney or somewhere like that. It was a gaffer on the phone. He said, "Where are you? I'm 5 minutes away." You know, you know, he drives up to wherever Johnny Groats and gets a ferry. I mean, he's that type of guy. He lives, breathes, eats, sleeps football. Does he have the energy levels and the madness on the touchline that he might have done at one time? No, he's 58 now. Craig, he's older than I say. I'm not sure. You know, he's not in the first flush of youth, neither am I. You know, but he's still energetic enough. He's still got kind of, he's still switched on, and he knows. He knows the score, and I think
the non-demonstrative thing is a thing amongst supporters. Because I sit in the stand with my ticket, and I hear people around me, and that is something that they're shouting about during matches. It's the fact that he's not demonstrative is read as, oh, he doesn't care, he's not bothered, and all this stuff. That's what people are saying, and they're reinforcing each other.
But do you remember, Sean? Because I was obviously, I'm watching Tommy Wright from a different angle.
Yeah.
Tommy Wright wasn't, are people,
not
kinda,
all the time.
He wasn't, was he?
He no, was most. He was capable of
he
it.
He did have, certainly in his early times, you know, you picture him and McNamara having their ding-dongs and stuff like that. He was capable of losing his rag before the officials and that. Yeah. But he wasn't, I wouldn't have put him at that end of the scale, like something like an Owen Coyle. If you're, he's the one that springs to mind for me. I mean, Owen was still just coming out, he was just finishing off as a player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is that. He was having a ball down. He was, you know, had the shorts on, and he really was. Mm-hmm. And I remember certain games.
A shorts manager. You don't see too many. No, you don't.
I remember just feeling sorry for Stephen Dobie because he was the one that used to get absolutely, you know, it was. Owen, you could just hear him just shouting him constantly, you know, black dogs, black dogs. You know, it was like one of these, you know, the smaller grounds. Callum, I would hear a, probably because of the COVID season, you know, you heard more on the touchline, but
yes,
it's. I don't think Levine is as far removed from what Tommy was like towards the end as maybe people would think in their minds. I'm just talking about in terms of touchline.
Maybe. But I do think that
but Andy Carr he's not the same. No. He's similar as well. That so that he's not, or maybe correct me if I'm wrong, he's not really bouncing about either, is he?
That. No, I mean, I do think that Tommy would employ it tactically. Mm-hmm. He always had it in his locker and he would use it. Yeah. If he felt this is the appropriate thing. I think he wasn't out of control with it. He did it on purpose when he was going to do it, for whatever reason. And I think that, because I think perception probably is, I mean, a manager can choose to ignore this or react to it however he wants. Mm-hmm. But I think Tommy was probably aware that I'll maybe show something here. Mm-hmm. And that gives the impression, oh, he's bothered. That's good. Mm-hmm. We've got a manager there. Who cares? Whereas Craig Levine, I mean, in my experience, sitting down and blethering with him, great guy, really, really likable, funny, pretty dry. But on the touchline nowadays, he's not demonstrative
at all. He told us that before he came in as well. You know, it wasn't going to be the Craig Levine of United, even Hearts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some do. I mean, listen.
So I think that, I would say that I think people, it is a misreading of him.
I think it probably is as well. And I think you're right. It's not something he's going to go out to. I mean, you want to talk about performative theatrics. I mean, Dick Campbell chucking his bonnet on the on the touchline became it was like panto, wasn't it?
Well, it is. It's like a Bruins or an Irwilly strip, something like that happening.
Remember the time he was stood at the far side? It was the air, and he was leaning on the terracing and stuff. You know, and just knowing fine well every snapper in the ground was going to be taking pics of him. Yeah,
I mean, I actually think another element, and I think it's legitimate to raise this as well, is because Craig's had his health problems with his heart stuff like that. He's had heart attacks, multiple heart attacks, I think. A couple, one or two? Maybe one. I think maybe two. I don't know. But a few. Does that make sense? Yeah, something like that. But in all seriousness, I mean, that's a very serious thing that happens to somebody in their life. And if the medical advice on the far side of something like that is you need to settle down a bit, then he's entitled to take that advice if that's part of it, you know, because you want to still be here, basically. So you can't be ranting and raving and going crazy about every single decision that doesn't go your way. So again, I mean, you could say there's a pragmatism to that as well. I can't see how that wouldn't be a factor in it too.
I do think people take it too far though when they then say he doesn't care.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
and I think that's totally misreading it because you know.
I think it's the heat of emotion, and football fans are of all stripes are the same. They act emotionally at things, and maybe sit and think about it later on. But I don't think that. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that's fair. I think it's a misreading.
The other thing is, I'm the same as everybody else. You like now and again to see a wee bit of kind of what appears to be passion from the sidelines. But the thing is, does it actually get the job done? I mean, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, see if you take a simple thing. I mean, I now run at half the speed I used to run at when I went running. And I think of what I was able to do at one time, the marathon and all the rest of that. And every now and again, I'll get the windy will come down. Somebody's passing car and go, is that you, Nagger, Spencer? You're not getting anything. No, actually, I've just done a 30-second sprint. I'm breathing at my backside, actually. I say sprint, that's a loosely bit of sprints doing a kind of lot of heavy lifting there, you know.
Is that because you've forgotten to load the dishwasher?
When players are on that park, you know, the lungs are searing, they're breathing at their backsides, full-time athletes are not. You're actually not hearing what the manager's shouting. Manager's shouting and bawling, it's a waste of time. He's, you know, it's just hot air. It goes over the player's head. You're concentrating on other things. Very, very difficult to get judicious, short, sharp messages to players. There are ways of doing it other than standing like a lunatic on the sidelines bawling into the air, you know. So, and I think when you get to Craig Levine's stage in the game, you understand that. You know, it's instinctive.
I just think there's an element of it, though. I mean, it depends how far you think the remit of a manager goes, because somebody might say that part of the job of a manager, as well as managing a team and getting it in a state that it can win matches, is kind of galvanising people around the cause as well. That could be part of it, because he's ultimately put in front of reporters and microphones mm-hmm. on a weekly basis. He's the point of contact for supporters. Mm-hmm. So part of his job is involved in PR. That could be via the media, or it could be how he behaves on the touchline.
He could have maybe got eventually picked up the sort of the VAR issue. Yeah. I think he could have maybe run with that a wee bit earlier from memory. Mm-hmm. The worst one for me was the double one against Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And he stood back on the night. Yeah. He said, "Oh, I'll need to watch it." Blah, blah, blah.
And it was the Monday after.
It was yeah. So that's an example of when mm-hmm. Tommy would have gone straight in. Yeah. And I think that would have been a time for that. Mm-hmm. I thought he was
Levine probably would have 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to reopen the Liam Gordon one, but that I thought he backed his captain well in that mm-hmm. one, mm-hmm. you know, in that week. It was that was a time when it needed to. So, yeah, I mean, you could speak about the psychology of it all, but he's been the type of manager I thought he was going to be from what he told us he was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we can, I'll repeat it. I think he's getting the club and he's caring, I think, about the situation, about his players, about the club. I mean, if he wasn't, he would have I don't know what his contract was, whether mm-hmm. it was a bonus about keeping up or other, he would have just said, "Oh, thanks, I'm away now." You know, I think he's got the stomach for a rebuild, mm-hmm. you know, which is what it's going to be.
It's going to require it.
But
he'll need some support.
Just to box off what happened on Sunday, Sean. I mean, I think you can legitimately criticise. There were a few occasions when the substitutions were mm-hmm. too late. Mm-hmm. The tweak of tactics second half didn't really. You were starting to think, what's kind of happening here? Now that could be for a multitude of reasons. Mm-hmm. But you got Andy Considine on in the nick of time on Sunday, because that the Saints. I wouldn't say they kind of were wobbling. It was about the time when Spittle hit the post, mm-hmm. and Considine, who I'm pretty sure will be one of the ones that's played his last game, came on. And I've watched Saints lose Leeds to Motherwell three times before, and mm-hmm. this one didn't actually feel like I quite, with about 20 minutes to go, I was all in with Ross County Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of thought,
felt like a long 20 minutes ahead.
I thought
at
Saints,
that point.
Saints are going to see this out, which they did. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of the actual game, he got his tactics right from the start. Mm-hmm. Players took their chances. Mm-hmm. And it was a good game of football from St Johnstone, and we haven't said that too often this season.
Yeah, well, the performance first half and some of the second half at Livingston was good as well, but mm-hmm. other than just not scoring, that was an issue. So, I mean, I think the changes that he has made to the team from that Livingston game onwards are actually pretty good mm-hmm. ones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could go back. And Dre Wright coming back has enabled him to do that
to
properly.
Actually have somebody on the right-hand side.
Yeah, exactly. So that has... And actually, Gavin McPherson's been good since he came in as well. It's job done, as you say. I do think, I mean, looking to a rebuild, which is required, mm-hmm. and obviously we're going to need the takeover to be signed off by the SFA, and that all needs to get done mm-hmm. as quickly as possible.
Come on, yes, please, hurry up.
Yeah, move it. Because Saints need to start planning for next season, mm-hmm. and at the moment they're sort of a bit hamstrung in that department because they're in this takeover limbo, so that needs to move. But what gives me a little bit of hope, actually a reasonable amount of hope, for a rebuild.
We'll take reasonable, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, it is the glass remains half empty, but you know, right. So, is the fact that the signings that Craig Levein has been responsible for since he came into the club have been pretty decent.
If I can get mm-hmm. you, look what I've done with Sidibe he's now his calling card, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a really impressive pick because you know mm-hmm. it's a boy coming from nowhere.
Five goals in eight
And he's got five and eight, and that's been crucial for St Johnstone. Made a huge difference. I mean, Kimpioka hasn't got five, but the ones that he's got have been important.
I think he's going to kick on.
And I agree.
That tells you there's diamonds in the rough out there.
Yeah.
If you've mm-hmm. got the contacts book, if you've got the people who are out there who can recognise, who can respond.
Kelch's
done a job
game.
As well.
I thought it was his best game on Sunday. Yeah. Who else did he bring in the... in January.
Should research this, shouldn't we?
Kerr Smith. Well, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Not for three, four.
Was that
a hamstring injury or something?
Yeah, you went
back
down the road.
But I mean, even Sidibe, Kempioca, Kelchins, that bodes well. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's three signings that have turned out to
Connor
be good.
Smith.
And Connor Smith, the other one. We've yet to find out about him. Yeah. But Sidibe, mostly Sidibe, Kempioca second. Both of them have been good. Both of them look like they've got proper potential for next season. But what's needed in order for them to fulfil that potential is to have a team behind them that functions properly, both as a defensive unit and gives them the opportunity to attack teams as well, because that, for long parts of the season, it didn't seem like a properly functioning team. Mm-hmm. And that's not Craig Levein's fault, I don't think, as such. It's just the nature of the squad that was there. So that's where things get trickier.
So I'll start with you then, Sean, seeing as you'll probably have them all in the front and centre of your mind. Who do you offer deals to? Because, you know, people say if they'd gone down, you'd have just get rid of a lot of them, you know. I mean, the ones that are under contract, I think there's a lot of good news, actually. The ones, most of the ones that are under contract have been playing well. Yeah. And there is a nucleus. And then you're bringing Sam McClellan back into the mix, who has done very well at United. So that's a bonus. So who out of the... There's too many to name. Who are you offering new deals to? Carey? I think he's had a very good season.
I can see the usefulness of Graham Carey, but again, not in the sort of team that Saints have been, really. Mm-hmm. And they need God bless him.
He's been best pushed for
higher up the park, the better. That's where he can make the most impact. Yeah, the cross was great. And he's got that.
Where has that been all season? That's what you're asking. It's simplistic, beautiful curveball, pace on it, and Clark's in there, beats his marker.
He can do that. He can do it. And he needs to be higher up the pitch, and he needs to be supported round and about him by people who'll maybe do a better running for him. Because he's not going to... He doesn't have the engine to track back up and down the park all day and still put these balls in. So it's going to need a bit of a bit of reconstruction around him. Is Liam out of contract?
Liam Gordon. Yeah. Liam Gordon, McGowan, Considine, all out of contract. Gallagher, let's start with the back. So it's Gallagher,
I would be saying Gordon, thanks very much for your service, Ryan McGowan and Andy Considine.
Yeah. Okay. And Tony Gallagher.
Probably. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Liam Gordon. I think you probably offer him a deal. But
yeah, I think they will. He might think this is the time. This is his
to
time
make
now
his move.
To make
possible.
His move. He's won. I mean, he's soaked up more than anybody because he is the, you know, people. Some people say, he's a local fan of that. And he was genuinely a fan. He's won the double. Mm. He's now had 3 years as captain.
A slog.
Three years of a slog as captain. Mm. And
at a certain point, that starts to take the shine off him a little bit.
If he's been selfish, he'll probably think
he should go. Yeah.
You can buckle under that. You know,
he's another one. He's had bad runs of form, but I've got a hell of a lot of time for.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Hell of a lot of time.
Or it'll be mid to late 20s.
Yeah, I've got him pegged at 28-ish, is that?
I would be guessing that.
He's a bit younger than that, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, to be honest with you, kind of in terms of a move, if he gets a move, you know, but players also have to think financially. I know we all kind of, you know, if you're fans and journalists, you want players to stay at your club forever and all the rest of it, but fellas do have to think about their own future, and they've got to think about their financial future, because, you know, it's a sport where your career could end tomorrow. You know, could end on the training ground, could end on the playing pitch. You know, you've got to think all these things.
He's 28.
What intrigues me about Saints is the kind of team that Levein will build for next season, try to assemble. And I think what he'll try to do is he'll try to build a much more mobile team, much more athletic team. I don't necessarily mean, this is a pet hate of mine, we confuse athleticism in this country with guys that are 6'2" can run all day. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. You want guys with decent physique, but that decent physique could be somebody that's 5'5", but got great low centre of gravity, great balance, quick feet, sees passes, you know, can handle himself. I think, and he's got a wee track record. I mean, some of the players he signed at the likes of United, Gomez and that were, you know, were great battlers, weren't particularly big players, but could handle themselves, could equip themselves well in any physical battle, but, you know, but had an eye for the game, had a heart for the game. And I think he'll try to build a much more mobile side, a side that are quick and sharp and kind of in the right places. You know, you can't fill the team with that. I mean, his key thing, I think, is defensively. Mm-hmm. He needs a more mobile defence. He probably needs a slightly... kind of a younger defence.
Mm-hmm.
Got a few years definitely, off, yeah. You know, bring the average age down a wee bit, you know. But that's a fine balancing act.
Because
well.
I thought the biggest blows were in terms of what happened in the second half of the season. I think they should have. He's probably expecting Dre Wright to come back quicker. Mm-hmm. He should have signed an out and out wide person, mm-hmm. because they were mm-hmm. without that.
Yeah. And that made them pretty toothless.
And Kerr Smith going back was a blow because he was the one that had legs, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where we are. Midfielders, Sean. So Dre Wright, you offering him a deal?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So then it's Ali Crawford.
No.
Cammy McPherson.
Maybe,
yeah. He's been good.
He has shown something since he's come back into the team. But I mean, you do remember as well before that, at times he'd be incredibly sloppy, and he was, he had the injury stuff as well. But maybe.
Are there any other obviously, Dan Phillips is away. I would have let, he's been a big disappointment for me the last few weeks. I don't know if it's because
Phillips.
Because of his rib injury.
He's not been quite the disruptive battling force. He was
saying his best outfield player for a good chunk of the season.
He was a monster at times in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Loving the battle, getting stuck mm-hmm. in, using his body, all that stuff. Hasn't been quite as keen to do that, I don't think. Recently,
not tracked a couple of runners notably as well.
Yeah. What's the story with Sprangler? Is he?
He's
done.
No.
Or has he got another year to go?
He's got. We'll find out about that one. Mm-hmm. I think he's got another year to go, or it's a clause type thing, but they'll want to keep him.
Yeah, if he's one that can be kept, then I would say absolutely.
I mean, he strikes me as absolutely 100%. A Levine type player.
Yeah.
Which was, again, we spoke about this earlier in the season. It was a real surprise to me that he didn't. He didn't use him as much. Mm-hmm.
And the lone ones, Callum Booth's away, Chris Kane's going to Dunfermline. Who else is there? There's one other, isn't it? James Brown isn't even getting a game for Wraith, is he? So there's no prospect of him coming back.
No.
So there you go. It'll be a 8, 9, 10 summer.
Oh, definitely, it needs to be as well. But I mean, again, this is all takeover dependent. Nothing's going to get done before that. I can't imagine.
There's a wee danger in there as well. Saints have got caught like this in the past, haven't they?
Just late business.
Really sluggish with that.
The last season. Absolutely. Steve McLean was...
playing kids in the cup and stuff
really,
like that.
Really,
in the league
hamstrung,
cup.
You know? And,
playing kids in the league cup and watching them getting pumped as well. Yeah. Various
but
games.
My suspicion, Sean, I would think, even though it's not been signed off yet officially by the SFA, the type of relationship Jeff Brown and Adam Webb will already had because Stan Harris is staying on to sort of smooth the transition process. Mm-hmm. I suspect I don't think it'll be a case of waiting to sign anybody until there'll be conversations. Yeah. Put
I
it
hope
that
not.
Way.
I hope not, because the late action has been a hallmark of the last few years at least at St Johnstone.
And it brought home to me was Sean Rooney. Signing for Saints. I'm not saying necessarily Saints would have been in for him again. But it was a sign of where Saints used to be in terms of their season being, they weren't thinking about going down, so they could plan, and it was four, three, four, five.
Well, he was a pre-contract
summer.
Signing, wasn't he?
Yeah. When you're in this sort of vicious circle, you just can't plan for the next season, and you miss out on guys. You know, and St Martin have been able to say, look, we're in Europe. Well. Europe, but we know what league we're going to be, blah, 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 and they can move quicker. So, you know, it's not going to be any easier next season, but we're not predicting stuff yet. But before we move on, the playoff that Saints aren't in, I think Ian Murray was at Fir Park. I think he would have wanted it to be St Johnstone just in terms of the way the two teams would match up. What chance do you give Wraith Rovers against Ross County? On the face of it, Ross County have got far more firepower, but there's a mentality weakness in there that if Wraith could build up a nice wee lead, I think they strike me as the type of team, and it was Dre Wright said something about it after the game, after the Saints midweek game against Ross County, and he was maybe it was a wee bit of psychology, but he was saying the way that the Ross County players looked after, it was like, you know, they looked like a team that was a bit shell-shocked. And they shouldn't have been, really, should they? You know, because they still, you know, beat Aberdeen at home. I know Aberdeen will be doing all the rest of it. So there's been a couple. And the way they collapsed against Motherwell, which ended up costing them, there could be a bit of frailty about them. So Wraith have just got to go for it, haven't they, Jim?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I was tossing a coin in it, I've got a kind of sneaky feeling that Ross County will emerge stronger over the two legs, you know, for a combination of reasons. I think they've got better players, you know, over the piece, you know, and particularly in Simon Murray and Danda, you know, you've got kind of two aces.
And Wraith defence is their weak point.
That's right. And I think in terms of mobility, I think that Ross County are probably a more mobile side. When you get to the frailties, the mental frailties, I think Wraith are quite a strong side mentally. Ian Murray's prepared them well.
They ought to be. They had a good season.
They weren't at Gayfield.
They had a very good season. So I don't.
Hey, Sean, you remember that one, don't you?
I mean, I wouldn't be kind of saying, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Ross County can edge it, but Wraith could win this. They could win it. I mean, it's. I think, you know,
it'll be worth watching.
It'll be worth watching. I mean, the first leg's Thursday night, isn't it? And it's like
Inverness Hamilton. Sunday. I think 8 out of 10 people would have said Inverness would have beaten Hamilton, because as much as it's been a disaster for them, Inverness were amongst about four teams that could have been in that playoff spot, so they weren't on a terrible slide by any means, but yet they lost convincingly to Hamilton over two legs. So these two games do tend to take on a bit of a life of their own, don't they, Sean?
Yeah, they can do. I mean, there is a pattern, obviously, with it it's weighted towards the Premiership team, and so it's proved, and that might be because of schedules up to a point.
Wraith have been better rested because
that's true. And it's also, I mean, the fact that there is a gap in quality between the Championship and the Premiership, bottom line, so that comes into it as well over two games. If it's one off, that you wipe some of that out, and strange things can happen in a single game, but two legs does weight it in favour of the Premiership team, and that's how it's gone generally so far since the playoffs were brought in. So yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I think Ross County will do it. But I wouldn't put it past Wraith Rovers to push them pretty closely. I think it could be a good couple of games.
You saw against Thistle. I mean, they've got a real kind of battling mentality. They've got a real battling spirit. There's players in there like Vaughan and Stanton.
They'll be right up for it as well. Bang up for it. And Ross County, it's a harder job.
I mean, my gut instinct is that this is a year too soon for it. You can never choose when to go up. My gut instinct is, you're already looking at the Championship. I think next season the Championship will be absolutely wide open, because I don't imagine Livingston being strong. I don't know the stats, but it's the first year that feels as if it's the first year there hasn't been a big city club, if you want to call it that.
For a while.
There's
not
a
real
dog in it. I think Wraith, with the momentum they've got, will feel they would have a real good shot at next season. So I think they need to look at this as a free hit. Mm-hmm. They really do. And You never know, but they've adapted well, Wraith, to being ahead of schedule. Yeah. And if you wouldn't, this could be their, you just don't know how, you can't say, oh, next year will be a better chance. This could be, it might turn out, you know, Dunfermline might sort themselves out even more next season. Livingston might.
Can't see it.
But yeah, the only thing I would say is it did kind of feel like everything fell for them. It was like their fairy tale story seemed to be the semi-final there, where Louis Vaughan scoring the penalty, went blah, blah, blah. What will they go again? We shall see.
Yeah, we will.
Right, Sean, Dundee's list of folk who are going, no surprises there. I'm not going to go through them all. Is there anybody who... Put it this way, the loans, there's bucket loads of them.
Yeah.
Most of them are... Well, the very good ones, they're not getting Owen Beck back for starters. Of the loans, how many of them would you want to have back? And do you think there's anything, are there any realistic ones to get back?
I think Ricky Lammy's coming back.
That'll be a permanent one, won't it?
Yes, it will. So there's that one.
Donnelly?
Bakayoko,
Is Donnelly alone? Donnelly is alone.
Yeah, Donnelly was alone from Nottingham Forest. Uh-huh. Yeah, so again, depends on what their plans
not
for him are.
Costello.
Costello, I wouldn't have thought so. Owen Beck, I wouldn't have thought so.
I think we say Dundee fans were rating Dara Costello just to wind up Saints fans, weren't they?
Yeah. I think his sort of narrative curve at Dundee was initially he came in, I think he gave a penalty, was sent off in his first game or something like that. A couple of howling errors, and then he kind of worked his way around and won them over, and then reverted to being
the one that played at Saints.
Not very good. And I think they'd fallen out with him by the end. But there we go. So no, I can't imagine him. Michael Mellon, I would think they will be trying their heart to get hearts out to get back. I think so. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, for their sake, they will hope the relationship they have with Burnley is useful.
Say no, he's not going back. He's not going back. Then there's a bit of trouble.
Well, this is done. In that case, yeah. So I suspect they'll try and get him back. And I've actually not read it. I must admit, but I saw George Cran had a piece with Amadou Bakayoko speaking about the possibility of returning next season and all that stuff. I would imagine it might be the usual sort of thing. Players would say, like, I've loved it here, the fans are great, all that. You never know what happens.
You made it
all of that stuff. Bakayoko, he's been useful, reasonably useful.
He's one of these, I think. He's one of these strikers that serves the team better than he serves himself, probably, in terms of his numbers, which there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. No, I think he's been good, and I think Dundee fans would be happy to have him back. So, yeah, but I would imagine, it's probably, we'll see what happens, that sort of thing, which players like to say at the end of these situations. It keeps it nice and open-ended. Mm. Doesn't rule anything out, doesn't rule anything in, sort of thing. We'll see. It really is down to the parent clubs, what happens with these people. Dundee can say we want them back, they might go, nah.
Unless it's Burnley.
Unless it's Burnley, in which case Dundee should be able to have some sort of leverage, surely.
Mm-hmm. It's still got a big squad, even when you're not talking about in terms of.
Well, there might be players who are contracted
on the fringes.
Well,
you've got Cammy Kerr and Max Anderson, who have just been in a team that's gone down to League One. I'm not saying it's their fault, but. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to loan out guys for another season, are you? You'd expect to be a conversation with Cammy for certain. Would you expect there to be a conversation with Max Anderson as well?
I would assume so. I mean, Tony Docherty will know who he wants to keep. I mean, I can see you loan a player out who's maybe been struggling with injury, but you still really fancy him. You think gets out, gets game time, and we get him back almost like a new body. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably it's fair to say I think there's no future for Cammy at Dens, is there?
It doesn't look that way.
I like him. I'm biased on it. I find it hard to be objective because he's a really good laddie. Mm-hmm. And you never get less than everything he's got.
I really like him personally as well. So that's not how football works. That's not how the game works.
I think you do a very good job for somebody. There's a chunk of me actually thinks that somebody needs to reinvent Cammy as a midfield player.
Did you watch a central
midfield player. I've thought that long and weary watching him. He's got dig, he's well, got he's, good physique, he's yeah, got a bit
his
of pace,
strengths
you know?
But are always the actual defending side of being a right back. He was always good at that. He didn't like being beaten by people.
That's right.
And if someone got past him, he'd bust the gut to get back.
He's got a great attitude. You don't get that from every player. I mean, he's got a wonderful attitude, but I suspect that his future lies elsewhere. I wonder if it might lie at something, I don't know, Dunfermline or something like that.
Maybe.
And,
It's the obvious one. Well, there's others, Jim. I mean, I was just looking at, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here. So there's Cammy, Max Anderson, Legstons, Pineda and Rudden apparently have still got time left to serve.
Rudden, you would expect to go.
Yeah, I'd have thought so.
He's been out on loan.
So he's starting for Wraith.
I don't see a future there for him.
No, he'll be away.
The goalkeeping one's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, the McCracken's away back on loan, isn't it, to his parent
Norwich,
club. Carson just seems to have kind of dipped. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the story is with Carson. Mm-hmm. Injury at first, but just didn't seem to... I mean, I actually had a column piece written at one stage about the three keepers in the, you know, United Saints and Dundee, because I thought they were blessed, the three very good keepers. And you know,
which Dundee one? Carson.
I ended up not using it. And I said, well, you know, McCracken's been fine, but once Carson recovers, he'll be back in.
Maybe I'm just watching highlights, but McCracken.
I think Carson is very good. He's fit and he's playing.
Yeah, he's decent.
But he's got a year to go as well. Like, you know. So I don't see Rodden. I don't see Kami there. Charlie Riley's a younger player, isn't he? What's happened to him? He just seems to have kind of drifted away. Things, you know. I don't. It's a big squad. You know. I mean, it's still a.
Somebody might come in for Luke McCowan as well.
Maybe. That, I think, there's a fair possibility of that, you know. I mean, he's had a spectacularly good season. He really has, you know. It's no beyond the possibilities that, you know, people might come in for a couple of their players. You know, they've had a very good season. McCowan's the obvious one. Lyle Cameron is the other. I mean, you know, the two of them are, you know, what kind of fees it might attract, you know, it might take to attract them away from Denz.
Silla's been good. I think he's good too.
Strong, physically strong player.
I'd say Portales has been good when he's played as well, so he's another one. They've still got plenty of players there.
They have. No, it's...
The big issue, being a man with a keen eye for a bargain, I was in TK Maxx last Friday night, you know, and bumped into big Scotty Patterson, you know, so we spent the first time.
Well, getting a good window into Jim's at home with the Spences,
we spent the first 15 minutes
shopping at TK Maxx. 30 minutes
out for a jog.
We spent the first 15 minutes tuning for about scooters, actually, because he used to be a Lambretta boy when he was a young
boy.
Scott
Patterson had the mod hair.
He's a bit of a Paul Weller, isn't he?
Uh-huh. By the way, there was a boy who was unfortunate. What a fine player he was, you know. He's crippled with injury.
Paul Weller?
No. Tell me Weller was a decent amateur, actually. No, big Scott, he was a fine player. But, you know, I mean, one of the things they're saying was, how do you kind of go and do again next season what you've done this season? And that's the bar for
pressure. Did he give you an answer?
That remains between me and him and the Fred Perrys, which are doing £35, by the way. We'll be back there shortly.
Fred Perrys, Jim. Come on, eh?
That's the.
I still like a Fred Perrys.
Me too. Yeah, touch of class.
One on the day, in fact. But I think it's a tall order. Aberdeen will be resuscitated. Hibs can't be as bad as they've been this season. You know. That's perhaps the daftest statement I've ever made on this podcast, because that's entirely possible. Hibs can be even worse than they've been this season, you know. But I mean, they shouldn't be. You know,
Aberdeen won't be.
The Premiership just continues to be what it's always been.
Hearts really, with another really year's tough. European money going into the coffers, they'll be stronger.
Teams.
They should be stronger.
Like Sedanda and Spittle are there. They're the Sunday players when the first team goes out on the Thursday.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's only going to make them, make them stronger.
They are the third force, aren't they? You've got Celtic almost.
If they can get themselves, I mean, this is what the European group stages last year. They want to be in there again this year, and if they can maintain that sort of thing, they will separate themselves as a third force. It won't even be close. They're in a good, really strong position at the moment.
Quietly, Naismith quietly went under the radar because he wasn't on any of the shot. Was he on any of the shortlists for manager of the year?
No, that's an interesting one.
Considering the pressure. They turned the tide. People were right on his case. Like, just the stick that Robbie Nielsen got when he was doing a good job, let alone when things were going wrong, you know. So that's a tough guy.
Did somebody know fly the wee Cessna over in the back?
Yeah, they did.
I also think somebody who quietly had a very good season and would have been on my shortlist was Kettlewell. I mean, just the job he did with Theo Bear, apart from anything else, makes you think there's
a lot.
With Theo Bear.
I thought you said with the au pair.
The au pair. Cut. We'll cut that bit.
What's he been up to? Have I missed this scandal?
With Theo Bear's au pair, he did a fantastic job, didn't he?
In that regard, he did. I'm not having that one. Kettlewell, no.
I thought he did a very good job.
Is that right?
He was all right. Okay.
He did a decent job. I wouldn't go overboard on him.
Yes. So, yeah, good.
I think we were just discussing various managers.
It was Jim's fault that brought us on the Hibs, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it does
that quite a lot, actually, brought us on the Hibs.
Mm.
They've got a manager yet, have they? You know,
they're still shopping.
Malky's director of football, still looking. You know what? I've got a sneaky feeling that they might just try to ease Malky. This general overarching director of football helping David Gray out, you know?
Maybe.
Hibs have gone too many times for this left of centre, left field approach.
Left of centre, are you talking about?
Politically.
Just kind of left of field, it's that old football thing. You know, let's try something different. We need to try something different. It's the same old faces. Well, why not give the job to the local butcher? That would be different. You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, I don't know where Hibs. I mean, I just kind of, you never know. I mean, I think I said this before. I just feel it's an exorcist as opposed to a manager of that club. There's something haunts the corridors. They're a great club. Potentially, they're huge. You know, I mean, they're as big as Hearts. A good going Hibs side will match Hearts at the gates, you know, no bother. But they just can't get it right, you know.
No, the term Hibsdit has come to exist.
When was that? When did that come about?
It was maybe 10 years ago or something like that.
Was it one of their semi-finals losing some Diddy Club in a Hampden semi-final? It would have been about that, wouldn't
it? It was to do with habitually messing it up at the last minute or whatever. But they
it's not even been buried after they won the Scottish Cup, is it?
No. It's I think Jim's exactly right in the summation of Hibs, so maybe we should just leave it there. They're potentially a really big club, but they're just making an absolute mess.
Back into Tayside, Dundee United getting sibbled. I mean,
good bit of business.
Funny again, we're not watching much Championship football and only seen him on the telly. He's been good, but he was one of the ones that they all struggled, didn't they, in the season coming down. But he's been their best. Has he been their best midfielder above Doherty? Yeah, would you put him
a different type of midfielder? You know, I mean, I think that he's got, in the parlance, he's got a great engine. You know, he's busy. He's a busy player. He's about all the time. He's into tackles. He's making passes. He covers a lot of ground. I'd like to see what he's.
That's
kinda,
the point,
you know.
Jim. Players have got engines, so you don't need a butcher. You need a mechanic. Local mechanic.
this is the annual service in the summer. You know, the annual service. You see the MOT is good for next season. He's been a good signing, and I think he's kind of returned to the almost like the potential that he had as a boy breaking through. Mm-hmm. I saw quite a lot about Falkirk and always liked him.
He was good there.
And I think he's got age on his side as well. He's kind of got a lot of years left in him. You know, so I think
tattoos. I really don't. They give me. I don't like them.
I'm taking that personally.
That one going up his neck.
Well, you know, each to their own and all that.
Tattoos?
Tattoos going up
in there. I never realised Sean had so many tattoos on. I just admire them as we go.
This is getting a very last day of term vibe. Very much a last day of term vibe here, but yeah. Craig Sibbald's tattoo has absolutely no correlation to how well he's played on the field. But he's a heel.
I don't like your tattoo.
There's a great tattoo in the new Rebus, by the way, if you've watched that. One of the gangsters, you know.
God, this really is. We're plumbing the depths.
Is he going to be a star in the Premiership?
Well, that's the... I put it this way, I don't think he'll be a failure in the Premiership. I think he'll be a match for most in the Premiership. I think he's kind of... He's got dig, he's got vision, he's got kind of... he's got that... I hate the phrase engine, but...
You're going to use it anyway.
I'm going to use it. I couldn't think of another one, you know. this will be my last kind of. This will be my last off piece of the day.
But I'm racing
in the Lockyer Road today with the busker at the bottom of Reform Street, Eric Goodmanson, whose mum actually taught me at primary school. Mm. But he was on a 400, and I was only on.
Is that the boy who's always playing Fields of Athenry and stuff like that?
Because he used to be based in Kilkenny or Dublin. I actually met him once when he was busking. I was in Temple Bar.
He's a lot better than Fast Eddie.
Well, he's better. I would murder Fast Eddie on the harmonica.
Oh, on the harmonica.
On the harmonica.
Right,
no,
okay.
No, that's not a threat.
Stand down, Police Scotland.
Stand down. That's too off-air murder. Oh, goodness me, you get it all on this podcast. Sibbald will be, Sibbald will do very, very well in the midfield and the Premiership. You know, he might get outgunned when it's Celtic and Rangers, maybe Hearts, but by and large, you'll have the measure of anybody else, I'd have thought.
Louis Malt, Sean. It's not actually been confirmed, but it's one of these that seems to have been unofficially confirmed that he's going to.
Yeah, the whispers.
He's going to be staying.
Get done. Yeah.
That one's more in doubt for me, when you're, I mean, there's no comparison between Sybold and Moat's players, but I would have absolutely zero doubt that Sybold will make the step up and be a first team regular. I think Moat's got a bit more, not more to prove, but just another year in the legs. It's going to be tougher for him and Tony Watt to make their mark in the top flight.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I actually think Louis Moat will be all right.
Because the reason I'm saying that, when he came back to Motherwell, he wasn't very good.
No. I think having the season that he's just had at United, where he's played a lot, a reasonable amount, for a boy who previously had not played a lot at all because of injury problems that just wouldn't leave him alone at that point. I think having a season in him is a really, really good thing for him. And it'll do him the world of good mentally. And physically as well, and I quite like the way that he's gone through this season, because I think he scored a lot of goals early on. He had a wee quiet spell.
Oh yeah, he was the main man at the start of the season, wasn't he?
Yeah, he scored, had a wee quiet spell, but he came back at the end and got a few important goals to get them up as well. So I'll maybe be proved wrong, but I don't particularly share those concerns. I think he'll be all right.
What'd be a good season for him, goals wise?
For United? Oh, for him?
Yeah.
50. No, that would be a great season.
Nudging 10?
I mean, if he gets 10, that's decent.
10's par. 10, that's a bit harsh actually saying 10's par. Would it be? You could have a good season.
You could have a good season with less than that.
Seven or eight.
Aye, absolutely. Tony Watt as well. So where do we?
You'll not be getting 10.
No, probably not. That's another 7 or 8.
We spend enough time talking about where he'll fit in, and it'll be a huge call again because if United's recruitment concludes, and Tony Watt's an automatic first pick, I'll be surprised. Would you go with that as well, Jim?
The recruitment is absolutely crucial. It's always crucial for every club. It's crucial at Saints, we've been talking, maybe crucial at Dundee as well, in terms of trying to maintain what they did. But at United, I think it's absolutely crucial because they're stepping up a level. There's no doubt about that. They are stepping up a level. And in terms of...
Have you heard any wee whispers about what United are going to be offering? I've heard a couple of rumours that they're going to be offering decent wages this summer.
Undoubtedly, I mean, you're caught in this classic dilemma. Ogren wants to tighten the purse strings on the one hand, and I can understand why, but you can't do it. If you want to compete, if you want to go straight back down again, offer a grand, 1,200 quid a week. You know, the average individual thinks that's fabulous. In football terms, it's, clubs like St Mirren and all the rest of it and Motherwell will be kind of...
Kilmarnock are spending
Kilmarnock,
now,
you know,
these days.
They're spending a kind of money. You've got to try and compete. That's before... You're not going to get near Aberdeen. You're not going to get near Hearts. You're not going to get near Hibs.
I think United's wages will be in the Kilmarnock Dundee ballpark.
If you're going to a guy and you're saying, look, we're back to the Premiership next season, there's not going to be European football, but back to the Premiership, plenty of good crowds, plenty of good, great training facilities and all the rest of it, and we're offering you 1,400 quid a week, and St Mirren are paying 2 grand, well, no thanks, there's European football there. No. If there's 100 quid or 200 quid in it, and you can, you can kind of ease it down a wee bit, you can narrow the gap, then that's one thing, but you've got to match. I mean, professional football, well, they play for their livelihood, so you've got to offer decent terms and conditions.
Aye, and they've all got agents who want a percentage, and it pushes it that way.
That's right. Yeah. So, it's a competitive market. There are other clubs. If you're a good player, there's other players, other clubs in for these players as well. So you've got to offer competitive terms. So if they get the recruitment right, that'll be crucial in terms of the likes of Moat. Whether Moat gets a return of 8 goals, 10 goals, 12 goals, whether Watt, how Watt is involved, is kind of, will he be? Will he play? Well, United play with two up front? I don't think so. No, in the Premiership. So Watt will be kind of just off him. I doubt he'll revert to kind of being in the left again. What kind of players will you recruit to be round about them? How creative will they be? How much pace will they have? All of these things will determine how Moat does next season. All of these things will determine whether or not Tony Watt is a regular starter. Depending on how good the recruitment is, and this is where the new recruitment officer will really earn his corn. I see United shopping in the For my sins, I got a call last week from a guy I know well who's got very good contact. I haven't got back to him yet, and he was talking about poor. What he'd heard about United and you know, some of the guys he was saying. But United will be looking, I think, very much to, you know, the market abroad, but also to the lower reaches of English football.
Mm-hmm. So do you envisage less Scottish recruits than...
Well,
it was pretty much all Scottish recruits for last season, wasn't it?
I don't think you'll see United. Let's say they were signing 8-10 new faces. I don't think you'll see 6 or 7 of them coming from Scotland. You know, I think probably the bulk will come from outside of Scotland, lower reaches of English football, where there tends to be a bigger element on physicality, on strength, on speed, and all the rest of it, because they'll need that to compete in the Premiership, and then whatever you can get from, I hate to say emerging markets, it almost sounds like a stockbroker, you know, but from kind of from markets that, you know, maybe haven't quite tapped
matured.
Into yet or matured, you know, something like that.
I like your eyes are Sean, yeah.
Hmm? Like I like your eyes.
I like your eyes.
Imagine that I've made some sort of pun about my eyes here. Right, okay. We'll leave it there.
Occurred to me when we were. We'll need to revisit it because we are bringing things to an end in terms of the summer. I'm looking at Jim, but I'm going to throw it at Sean unless you bumped into him in the. And the Kirk the other week, we did say it would tell us a lot if Mark Ogren spoke while he was over, either to the written broadcast press, whoever it may be, or in-house. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't. There's been nothing. What do you read from that, Sean?
It's tough to kind of take anything from it other than he's not really wanting to talk about Dundee United. Mm-hmm. And what does that say to supporters of the club? It would concern me slightly.
Yeah. Should he have? Should he have done something?
Well, I think if you're going to, then off the back of winning a title is a good time to do it.
Yeah, I think now.
So it's.
I don't think we're going to hear from him again.
Maybe
if he's not going to speak after the United have won a title, like you say,
it was the perfect opportunity. To do something because the framing around it is all so jolly and positive and this is all great, we've achieved what we wanted, and he can save his piece off the back of that in that context, and that's exactly the right time. So the fact that he hasn't, as I say, the direct thing you can read into it is he does not want to talk about Dundee United. The question there is why?
Go on then, Jim. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a strange one. I mean,
there's a lot of blanks still to fill.
He was out there on the trophy celebrations and all the rest of it. You know, he was kind of part and parcel of the day.
I didn't miss him like picking up the mic in Tannadice.
No, he didn't do anything like that. He was quite unobtrusive. He came down. He didn't even go up on the
was
on
his
the
son there?
Platform. I think the son was with him. Certainly, kind of. I often take the binoculars to the games. You know, you see who's in the
opera glasses.
The box, the opera glasses. That's right. But I didn't see, but I think he was. But, you know, the press, both the written press and the broadcast media have been pretty kind to Mark Ogren. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. He's put a lot of money into the club. He's now kind of like the reluctant bridegroom, isn't he? You know, kind of, he's been down the aisle, but you want to get back up it, you know.
He's speaking from experience again. Old Mrs. Spence does all this podcast. You're going to have more to worry about than emptying the dishwasher, Jim. I mean, the in-house media has certainly been very kind to him, unsurprisingly.
That's worth actually pointing out properly, is the fact that the media is one thing, right? Mm. You don't have control of what they're going to ask you. They could make you look like an idiot if they're in the mood to, sort of thing, whatever. But in-house media is designed to be friendly.
Soft rollers.
Exactly. And it can be framed exactly how you want it to be framed, because you're the
boss.
Take
that out.
You're the boss.
So why are you should be opening question, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's so the fact that that didn't happen is the one that's really like, oh, well, he just doesn't want to speak about Dundee United.
Yeah.
So why not?
It's concerning. I mean, you've just come up, you've just won your way back to the Premiership. He's been, 5 years, Tannadice now? He's put, I think, in terms of soft loans, about 13 million or something like that. And there's been kind of mixed messages. You know, on the one hand, it's looking to get out, but look, I'm really quite committed, and you never quite get that. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that if he could get out, he'd be out tomorrow. But then, you know, I suspect half of Scottish football are like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's you can get into Scottish football easily enough. Escaping it is another thing entirely with your money intact. Adam Webb, you're listening.
Leave it there, Jim. Stop.
Right, before we wrap it up, I'm going to give you the chance. Are there any of the clubs on our patch that you feel like we've neglected and like I've got big summers ahead? I mean, I had quite a good insight into, and I changed my mind on it a wee bit because mm-hmm. when I went to do an interview with Dave Mackay mm-hmm. a few weeks ago for the cup final thing, got to spend a couple of hours with Dave, which was just great catching up about the old times, etc., etc. But we sat in the, you know, but where they have their change room and they're in the stand behind the goal. Yeah. So usually you would do your press in the main stand. So yeah. Got through with Dave, so we sat in the sort of players' canteen bit, mm-hmm. and I was really struck by. Because I kind of went, my thoughts at Dunfermline this season had been sort of, James McPake and Dave be frustrated that they've not quite put their foot down, you know, mm-hmm. to really go for it. Because I kind of expected Dunfermline to come up and maybe go again type thing. I think this is a real opportunity, we can get the players. So I was kind of half thinking maybe there'd be a bit of frustration. And see, Dave and James McPake, as contented and as happy mm-hmm. as I've seen them having... Mm-hmm. seeing them as a management duo at Dens and all the rest of it, which was a very sort of volatile club at that point, wasn't it? There was a lot of ups and downs, and they've bought into the sort of slow progress that Dunfermline are making, and the big vision, the sort of big picture. Mm-hmm. So I want to see. I'm hoping that Dunfermline give it a real go next season, and that the sort of the foundations that they're putting down there. I don't know when the new training ground's coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a real sort of. And I thought they never became a whisper of McPake losing his job, did there? When they were having some terrible results, I hope mm-hmm. that's a club that's now put down really strong foundations, and that. It's a slow build, and maybe next season you really start to see mm-hmm. the sort of fruits of the labour.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think, Raith Rovers' relative success this season probably puts a bit of pressure on Dunfermline mm-hmm. in the sense
that... And they beat Dunfermline a lot. Yeah, they did. Didn't they?
And I mean, because with best will in the world to Raith Rovers, Dunfermline are a bigger club than Raith Rovers are. Yeah. Bigger support. All of that stuff. More, it's a club with real potential mm-hmm. to be a Premiership club and be operating around the level of a St Mirren or a Motherwell or St Johnstone. All of this stuff, they could easily be doing that. It's not that easy, but you know what I mean. There's loads of potential there, and I think it's one that, I mean, it's positive that there's no whispers of movements against McPake or anything like that. It's good. It suggests that the owners are happy with the job he's doing. They feel he's moving in the right direction. But it's that old thing in football. If you do have genuinely held ambitions to progress, you are going to need to pay for it.
Yeah, and I think they should reckon. I'm not talking.
And
about
they are, I'm sure they'll be spending money on the training ground and stuff like that. So I mean, it's not to say that they're not spending or anything like that. But you do, if you're serious and you want to go for it, you have to.
I think they should recognise next season as an opportunity, which is touched on it about the makeup of the Championship. Mm-hmm. And I think Dunfermline could have a really good. I mean, Chris Kane signing is a good start
in the Championship.
You've talked about Cammy Kerr, mm-hmm. who by no means was he responsible for Inverness going down. I think that without being daft, you'd never recommend Dunfermline as a club that was in administration. So you'd never recommend pushing too far and going crazy. But you do always have to have to recognise an opportunity when it's there, and I think there could be an opportunity for Dunfermline next season.
I think I share everything that Sean has said. I mean, they're good, we're all kind of biased and subjective in football with certain things. I mean, as a reporter at the Beeb, I covered a lot of their games, and was always really well treated. A lot of fine people at the club, always good people, always treated you really well. You like them, and the punters, they've got good fans, they've got a great fan base. I mean, Raith, I think, have sold just under 5,000 tickets for the game against Ross County. I mean, mm-hmm. kind of no harder race. That being Dunfermline, I think it'd be 7.5-8. You know,
they're a big
club. You know, I mean, one of the great rivals is them and Falkirk.
Yeah,
12 mile between the two.
That
you know, that's a full house. So that's brilliant. And I'm glad, you know, but they do. I mean, I think they've, I'm not saying they haven't backed James, but they've got to back him, him and Dave as well. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're up against relegation, nobody says, oh, look, we're facing relegation, but what? Have you seen the training ground? You know? I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, you've got to get it right. And it's a fine halfway house between having great facilities and they're moving in that direction, but also you've got to bring in the body of players. I mean, to me, Dunfermline are a Premiership club. Mm-hmm. Dunfermline could easily. You know, I think if you get a good two or three sustained decent success, I'm talking about
all you need to do is walk into East End Park, yeah, and you just go, off. Exactly. Yeah, this is a Premiership.
They could match a St Mirren, they could match a Kilmarnock, they could match a Motherwell quite easily if you get them. If you really get that club motoring again, they're a big, big club, and they've got a great history. You know, there's a couple of generations now that can't remember. They've got proud European history and all the rest of it. You know, so they're a smashing club, but you've got to live in the present day, and they have kind of, I suspect, underachieved for a wee while, but. I hope and expect big things from them next season. I'd love to see them coming up. I really would love to see them, but I'd love to see a bigger league, but I'd love to see them back in the top league, you know.
Good. Okay. Come on then, Tim.
I was going to say one other thing we should probably mention is Mike Caird's going as the chairman at Arbroath. I mean, after 30-odd year man as boy on the kind of, you know, on all sorts of things on the committee and chairman and all the rest. I mean, and it's a shame that he's gone after their five seasons in the Championship. They've gone back down again. But what a roller coaster that's been. And I mean,
they're a fascinating
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and as chairman, season, I mean, they've done so much there. You know,
I mean, he's overseen. Real transformation.
Absolutely. Done a
I
great,
think their turnover's
job.
Trebled in the last wee while. I mean, commercially, they're a completely different
thing. Yeah, they put down talking about putting down foundations.
Yeah.
I don't know quite with what end goal in mind. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing with Dunfermline. You can see where they could get
could
to.
Get back up. Yeah, but I mean, Arbroath were so close as well. They could have been in the Premiership themselves. Minutes from it. I mean, it would have been just unbelievable.
They've proven what can be done. I think that's the key.
Yeah,
they've proven what can
and
be done.
And staying as the best part-time team is probably the that's always got to be the goal, isn't it?
Yeah, should be. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Because it's a completely full-time Championship next season, isn't it? I think.
Is it? Yeah. Well, Falkirk are coming up. Mm-hmm. So
it's a wee bit. That's a wee bit of a shame in some ways as well. It's always quite quite good to see a part-time team. You know, sort of having the best of the guys that've got. Jobs, you know. But we're going back to butchers and electricians. I think we should engineers, whatever it is. Okay. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, and thank you for listening this season. We will be back. Well, I don't know when yet, but we'll be back if there's any cause for panic and there's big issues. We'll be back
when
on
the,
it again
when the players come back. Put it that way.
Eh?
Around about? No, actually.
Playoffs?
No.
It's next week.
We're back. There's a big breaking story in that
Au Pair. Come back.
back when Theo Bear's Au Pair story gets hits the press.
Yeah. As it will.
As it will, no doubt. Right, thanks for listening. Bye just now. Thank you.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget too to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday, or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.